जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल गौर हरि बोल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिजा गचार्य अष्टोद सत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज चैतन्य चरितामृता की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 9, 19, starting from text 136. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Ashalakaya Chakshurunmiritamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Srimate Devamrita Swaminita Namane नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय बुद्धले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देस्तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So this is a special chapter, chapter entitled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. This is when the brothers Rupa, Sanatan, Anupam, actually in this case, Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they actually escaped from their material entanglements and they're approaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for devotional service. They were so enthusiastic and eager. They actually met with Mahaprabhu in a place called Prayag. And there's so much leading to this pastime, but various reasons. I'm just reading from the point where Mahaprabhu's starting to instruct Srila Rupa Goswami on the science of devotional service, the science of Krishna consciousness. So this is text 136. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, My dear Rupa, please listen to me. It is not possible to describe devotional service completely. Therefore, I'm just trying to give you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The role of a devotee is saying it's not possible to describe devotional service. And Rupa Goswami, being the perfect disciple, even he cannot understand the whole science, so Mahaprabhu is giving us an understanding. Text 137. The ocean of the transcendental mellows of devotional service is so big that no one can estimate its length and breadth. However, just to help you taste it, I am describing but one drop. Text 138. In this universe, there are limitless living entities in 8,400,000 species, and all are wandering within this universe. Text 139. The length and breadth of the living entity is described as 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair. This is the original subtle nature of the living entity. Text 140. If we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts, then take one of these parts and divide it again into 100 parts, that very fine division is the size of but one of the numberless living entities. They are all chitkana, particles of spirit, not matter. See, whatever we hear from Prabhupada's classes, you know, they're so authorized, because whatever we're hearing, Prabhupada is just repeating the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we wondered, like, where we get this kind of teachings from, you know, when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's right here. Text 141. If we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts, and then take one part and divide this into another 100 parts, that 10,000th part is the dimension of the living entity. This is the verdict of the chief Vedic mantras. We can understand the size of us, how insignificant we are. Text 142. Lord Krishna says, among minute particles, I am the living entity. Text 143. O Lord, although the living entities who have accepted material bodies are spiritual and unlimited in number, if they were all pervading, there would be no question of their being under your control. If they are accepted, however, as particles of the eternally existing spiritual entity, as part of you, who are the Supreme Spirit Soul, we must conclude that they are always under your control. If the living entities are simply satisfied with being identical with you as spiritual particles, then they will be happy being controllers of so many things. The conclusion that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one and the same is faulty conclusion. It is not a fact. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, spoken by the personified Vedas. In other words, it's saying here, if we were God, then what are we doing being punished by the material energy? If you're as good as Krishna, then what are we doing, you know, taking a form of a hog body and, you know, human being or a tree or a cow, you know, suffering. Text 144. The unlimited living entities can be divided into two divisions, those that can move and those that cannot move. Among living entities that can move, there are birds, aquatics and animals. Text 145. Although the living entities known as human beings are very small in quantity, that division may be still further subdivided. For there are many uncultured human beings like Mlechas, Pulindas, Baudas, and Shabaras. Text 146. Among human beings, those who are followers of Vedic principles are considered civilized. Among these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. Such people do not care for the regulative principles. In other words, there are 400,000, human species, and there are some of them are civilized, but not all of them are up to the standard of pure Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu is starting to explain the different people under different modes of nature. 147. Among the followers of Vedic knowledge, most are following the process of fruitive activity and distinguishing between good and bad work. Out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise. Text 148. Out of many millions of such wise men, one may actually become liberated, mukta. And out of many millions of such liberated person, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very difficult to find. You can understand from this, the position of, Prabhupada and his pure followers, how rare it is to find. So much so that Mahaprabhu is glorifying them. It's very, very rare. Text 149. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment. Jnanis desire liberation and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Text 150. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayana. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. Text 151. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. This is actually a very famous verse. Prabhupada would quote this all the time. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Translation. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. See, this is the basic, human understanding, human civilization, is that we have to accept a bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him. This is not a big thing, this is like a basic thing. And Prabhupada would point out how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, not Krishna Guru Prasade Pai, first Guru. We should be like so eager and burning to accept a spiritual master and make progress. We should be always thinking, especially in our new devotees, how to go to the next level. How to go to the next level. At least in the West, we are so blessed. We have this kind of opportunity. In India, I was noticing that there are many thousands of devotees actually wanting to take initiation from Srila Radhanath Swami. For the past 8 years, 10 years, they're still waiting. And Maharaj, for various reasons, is not giving initiations. There's many families I met, they've been chanting for 9 years, 8 years, following all the principles, and they're so enthusiastic. Still, they're like bhaktas. And for somebody from the bhakta program to put on saffron means a big thing there. Basically, you have to be first initiated, and then your spiritual master awards you this saffron ceremony. Then you get this opportunity to wear saffron. Because India is so big and dynamic, the Krishna consciousness is spreading like anything. There's so many doctors and engineers and scientists, they've given up whatever they were doing and they're like in the waiting list to be able to stay in the ashram and just to accept saffron cloth, even though they're very fixed up, very sincere. So we are lucky in the sense here, West, things have, you know, we have a little bit more concession. You know, we have so many swamis coming through and we get to associate with them. And if you're serious, we can get initiation within a couple of years and you get to wear saffron. And then we shouldn't take it cheaply. At the same time, we shouldn't just like just stay in the same position. We should be like burning. The desire should be to move forward and take advantage of this facility that we are given. Text 152. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of sravana and kirtana, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. This is a position. Somehow or other, by the prayers and mercy of Prabhupada and his disciples and grand disciples, somehow or other we have gotten this seed. That's how we are here. So now we should be so careful to protect the seed. And by water them by hearing and chanting. Text 153. As one waters the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed sprouts. And the creeper gradually grows to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, lying between spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahmaloka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through the stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Text 154. Being situated in one's heart and being watered by Sravana Kirtana, the Bhakti creeper grows more and more. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky. Text 155. The creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with water of hearing and chanting. Now here comes the problem. Please listen carefully. 156. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. If you just avoid this one major obstacle, then we can continue. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, if you just do two things, I make sure you come back to me, chant Hare Krishna and don't offend Vaishnavas. If we do these two things and if we are careful and conscious, then we can go the distance. If you see so many senior Vaishnavas, Achita Prabhu, Dhruta Karma Prabhu, Ganesh Prabhu, so many devotees, they're still here because they've understood this basic point that you chant Hare Krishna and you're nice to other fellow devotees. It's very, very crucial. 157. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. 158. Sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. 159. Some unnecessary creepers growing within the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. In other words, when you're watering the bhakti lata beach, the bhakti creeper, so many unwanted anarthas grow along, and it's listed here. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. Text 160. If one does not distinguish between the bhakti creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti creeper is curtailed. I'll stop reading here since we have other speakers reading tomorrow. And I wanted to share some of my experiences from my short visit to India and New Zealand. It was a very uplifting, spiritually uplifting time. Materially was hard because nothing works in India. There is, it's very naturally builds your tolerance and humility just by visiting there. And it came to mind while reading about Rupa Goswami that I got to visit Jaipur. What happened was due to the Muslim attacks and invasions, the main deities of the Goswamis, they were actually moved from Vrindavan to Jaipur. And Jaipur is like about 3 hours drive from Vrindavan. Many times we go to Vrindavan, but this time I had a friend. He's a very special person. As a student, he would come in a train with his bicycle and he would travel to all these holy places for free. He didn't have any money and he would just stay somewhere and eat a roti or something. And he's so expert, so he was showing me around in Vrindavan, so I just mentioned to him, only if I can get your association, go to Jaipur, that'll be amazing. So he kindly came with me and he showed me around all the temples in Jaipur. So one of the main temples I visited was Srila Rupa Goswami's deities are residing there, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir. It was so potent just walking into this temple, you feel so blessed. You can imagine how empowered Srila Rupa Goswami is. He was personally loved and instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can feel the potency of the deities that were, carved and worshipped by the Goswamis. Especially I had such a great time in the Radha Govinda temple in Jaipur. No wonder when we sing the sixth Goswami Ashtakam, we feel so much protection and empowerment. Because it's explained that the senses or body, when we talk about body, Krishna explains it in terms of senses. The mind is also a sense, according to the Bhagavad Gita, the subtle sense. The senses are like, you know, like a wild animal. If you ever been to a zoo, I mean, when I was young, there was a circus right next to my school, and I visited this hungry tiger. He's just like so restless, and it's not like lying down peacefully. It's just showing his teeth, and he's so angry. Every time we came, we were not quiet. You know, we were like rattling his cage and throwing something inside and agitating it more. So I always remembered this, how these senses are like, you know, like a wild tiger inside a cage. It's just like constantly, you know, looking for something to eat, something to do. It's really scary if we think about it. So when we take shelter, I felt so much mercy by taking shelter of this Six Goswami prayers and also Narsingadev in Mayapur. It's explained that Mayapur Narsingadev is in the mood of Panchatattva, so merciful and so powerful. So that was very wonderful to be able to visit Srila Rupa Goswami's personal deity that he worshipped, and we can feel the potency, how these teachings are not just some belief, you know, so much we can feel in action. And also I got to visit Chaupati. They had this amazing flower festival, Pushya Abhishek. Traditionally they have this celebration called Holi, where you throw colors on each other and celebrate it like this, but usually it ends up in a big mess. Adana Swami was explaining at the festival. So they've come up with this festival, flower festival, where like you throw flowers at each other, doesn't hurt, and it's also easy to clean and so on and so forth. And they've brought like a ton of flowers from all over India, South India, North India, everywhere. Roses and jasmines, and it was so amazing. I've never seen anything like it. I heard Dhruta Karma Prabhu in the past, he liked the festival so much, but I got to see how, you know, thousands of devotees sitting down on the floor all morning, plucking the petals, soft petals, and all these flowers get stored in bamboo baskets, and then later on the pujaris, they actually throw and shower the deities with these colorful flowers. While the kirtan was going on, Gauravani Prabhu was singing so beautifully. There were so many yoga guests. Raghunath used to be here, shelter singer. He brought like about 80 yogis from New York. There's so many Russian devotees, and there was hardly any room. The temple room was like so packed. So much so that the regular congregation, they were allowed just for a quick darshan, and then they have to get out. And all these flowers that were used to, you know, bathe the deities were taken to this side, what do you call this? Balcony. And then they shower you with those flowers. And it's so much flowers, they don't stop. And so many Swamis were there also, Chandramouli Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj and so many other Prabhupada disciples like Yadubar Prabhu. And you take the flowers and you throw it on your fellow devotee, and the kirtan is going on. It was so much bliss. It was something to see. At least we can see it on YouTube. For now, it's easily available. It's so special. And I got to visit this, the hub of the Sri Vaishnavas in South India. The followers, Ramanujacharya, his spiritual master, his followers, all these great personalities where they practiced and celebrated Krishna consciousness was this place called Sri Rangam. Such a huge temple was unbelievable. It's actually said, if you see from the satellite, next to the Great Wall of China, the second thing visible was this dome of this temple, Gopuram. It's so powerful. Each slab on the floor, we can feel the potency of Krishna consciousness. One thing I noticed was it was so easy to chant Hare Krishna in these places. It's so, it's like being in Krishna's bedroom or something, you know, it's like being in Krishna's space. It's so enjoyable to be able to chant. And there was one friend, he's an ISKCON devotee, but he just showed up, Krishna's mercy, and I was just walking around with a friend and he showed up and he said, can I show you around? Can I explain things to you? I said, there'll be a blessing. And this person is so into it, he knew like a pastime behind each pillar and each rock, and you know, he was amazing. One thing that, you know, stuck in my mind was he was explaining how when we serve Krishna, everything is provided. Because I was asking if I can give him a donation for his time, because he spent like 2 hours with me in the morning. He said, no, this is my service. And Krishna takes care of me. And he was explaining how there was this businessman. He was like completely convinced that you have to work really, really hard to support yourself and make a lot of money. And this is the way to be secure in this world. And he had this business of breaking rocks. So he was breaking a rock one time. And deep within the rock, huge rock, there was this tadpole. This little frog was there, deep within the rock. And there was also enough water there for this tadpole to survive. So this person felt so embarrassed. He said, you know, if Ranganath, that's the name of the deity in the temple in Sri Rangam, he came to this conclusion, if Ranganath can provide deep within the rock for this living entity something to eat, why am I struggling so hard to maintain myself? You know, this is such a foolish way to live. So right there he built a bhajan kutir and he started chanting. And it is explained that Ranganath would personally bring him prasadam. And one time Ramanujacharya actually witnessed this and he was thinking, what is this? Ranganath is going every day same time with the lunch with the prasadam. And then Ramanujacharya followed and figured out that this is going on, that, you know, this person is just chanting with so much devotion and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bringing him lunch. So Ramanujacharya protested and said, this cannot happen, you know, that, you know, God cannot serve you, you know, you're asking for service from him. So he made other arrangements where, you know, he stopped Ranganath from bringing lunch and he made another devotee bring him lunch. And this tradition is still going on, where, you know, once a year or something like that, this prasadam brought to the house of this person. So it was a very special experience. I visited these three main temples in South India, Kanchipuram, where there is this famous Varadaraj deity. Varadaraj means the king of benedictions. That's what it literally means. You pray to him, whatever, you know, spiritual or material, gets fulfilled. Such a beautiful temple also. And of course I went and saw Balaji in Tirupati. Very, very famous deity. The temple is so popular and so busy, the government has taken charge of the temple and everywhere there's military and police and you guard it. And there's such a big line to see the deity. It was unbelievable how many people come and so much natural devotion. Usually you just go in and you see the deity and you escorted out by the police. But somehow or other, Krishna Balaji's mercy, I got to chant 2 rounds in front of the deity. I mean, the person who arranged the darshan for me, even he doesn't believe it. Because for even though he's a big shot, still, like, he can't even stay that long. But somehow or other, they didn't ask me to leave. Even I was thinking, when they're going to ask me to leave? When they're going to ask me to... And then I'm thinking, I should be praying, I shouldn't be in anxiety. I said, whenever they want me to leave, I will leave. As soon as I thought like that, they said, okay, now you have to go. But it was such an amazing experience, seeing these, deities. Most of these deities, like for example, this Ranganath deity was worshipped by Ram. It was a personal deity of Ram, Lord Ramchandra. Balaji was also there for many, many millions of years. It says that when Balaram killed Romaharshan Suta, Romaharshana, he was asked by the devotees to go on a pilgrimage, and it says that he went and saw Balaji to purify himself. You can imagine, such powerful deities. And then, of course, I came to visit Mayapur. It was such an amazing time there also. Thousands and thousands of devotees. We really feel part of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Feel so quiet coming back here, because there was no room. I was actually standing in Narsingha prayers, and I couldn't breathe. I was like panicking. I don't know if it was my thing or there was no oxygen there. And I just said to Uttama Sloka Prabhu, Prabhu is like hard to breathe. He said, wait till this 1,000 Russians coming today. Then you will see. And sure enough, they came. And everything was full. You cannot check emails, You cannot go to the restaurant. It was full. All the boats are overflowing with devotees. Wherever you look, there was like a wall of devotees. It was so nice. Feel so proud to be part of such an international society, and it really brings up your faith. And also, they have organized this Kirtan Mela, where all the celebrities of Krishna consciousness, all the GBCs and temple presidents and gurus and gurukulis and brahmacharis and matajis, everybody came together and they were singing so much with devotion. And one Bengali brahmachari actually asked me, did you see Mahaprabhu? He came down from the altar and he was present in the kirtan. I said, no, I didn't see. He said, you don't have enough faith. I said, okay, that's very humbling. But it was actually very, very amazing time. Materially speaking, if you like a star, if you like a movie star or musician or, a comedian or somebody, it's so hard to be friends with them. So hard to go close to them. But in Krishna consciousness, you have all these personalities, B.B. Govinda Maharaj, Madhava Maharaj, and Bhakti Charu Swami, Lokanath Maharaj, all these amazing gurus. And they're so approachable. You get to take prasadam with them, and you get to serve them, you get to ask questions. And it was just a very, very special time. Very special time. When we're actually there, you feel how... most of the times our problems are due to our mind, Mind makes something big out of nothing. Especially I was realizing when we're not able to freely sing the Hare Krishna mantra or bhajans, that means we're too much in the mind. When you're in the dham, you're able to sing in the shower, and in the Ganges, when you're riding in rickshaw, you're able to, it's coming out, It's so special. Then you feel how all the problems are insignificant. It's like when we're driving in a car and we're driving past this huge mountain and we look through the window and we see this huge mountain. It's true that we're right next to a mountain. It's a reality. But because we're going so fast in the car, very soon we'll pass the mountain. We'll come across something else, maybe a lake or a forest. Similarly, so many things are real, all the problems are real, but because if we are situated in Krishna consciousness and we are actually moving forward, then all these problems will pass. We don't have to dwell on and we hang up, you know, so much. So it was a wonderful time, really, really spiritually uplifting. But I did have this realization how it's actually good to be part of a temple, and the real happiness is to sacrifice for the mission of Prabhupada. That was my humble realization after enjoying so much. Because one thing is to enjoy Krishna consciousness, another thing is to sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna and the spiritual master. That's when you actually get the mercy. Even being in an amazing kirtan or a feast or something like that, I could easily compare that with a full day of book distribution in Santa Monica or Hollywood or somewhere. Prabhupada is very pleased. We actually get more mercy by preaching in the West. Well, there's no opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness, not much when you're in the Dham, but when you're here, like Achyuta Prabhu took me to this college program yesterday and he was presenting Krishna consciousness so expertly to all the students. We can see how, you know, this is so needed, and by doing so, we actually get real blessings, so much so we can go the distance in Krishna consciousness. It's easy to run here and there and try to enjoy and escape sacrificing. But the real thing is to sacrifice and, you know, please Krishna rather than pleasing ourselves. Any comments or questions? Oh, I was hoping everybody's on Facebook and I posted all my photos on Facebook. But that's a good point. So I thank you for your kind attention. Grantara Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Yeah.